This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 19th, 2021, the memorial of Saints Dunstan, Ethelwald, and Oswald, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I commend you to God, who is able to build you up and give you the inheritance. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words of St. Paul are spoken under sad conditions. He is getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he knows, who knows if it's supernaturally or he just has a human intuition, that he will not be back. This is a definitive leaving. There's a lot of sorrow going on. But he doesn't lament over the fact that he's leaving and not going to see them again so much as he does by giving them some marching orders. And these marching orders are not for everybody. They are marching orders for the elders of the Church of Ephesus, those whom, as he says, the Lord has placed as guardians over the churches there. This is that, well, okay, I don't have to listen to it because I'm not one of those. Oh, no, you should listen to it because it's what you should expect from guardians that have been placed over the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bishops and priests and deacons, you should expect of them what St. Paul directs them to do. It is interesting, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of the things. He tells, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He doesn't say, hey, pay attention to the flock. The first thing he tells them is you need to start paying attention to yourself. You need to keep watch over yourselves. How do you keep watch over yourself? You keep yourself in the sanctity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You delve in his word continuously. You pray without ceasing. You do spiritual things. You don't pay attention to politics. You don't desire to be liked by the world. I think in a gospel today, which we also read on Sunday, it pretty well covers this fact that the world is going to hate you because it hated me first. It's going to hate the truth. It's going to hate what you proclaim to it. So take heed to yourself that you use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as fortitude, to stand firm when the world hates you. Keep watch over yourselves. This is of the utmost importance. And this is, we don't know how much or how little our bishops do as far as the objective rule of their lives when it comes down to, you know, exactly if they're keeping tabs on what St. Paul says. But there is one way that we could tell if they're doing it correctly or not, and that's how holy they are. The holiness of your life is reflected in the holiness that you present to others. And now there can be presentations that are hollow and superficial. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about consistency. We're talking about men who are consistently holy, who consistently stand firm for the truth. These are men who you know, particularly in our day and age, men you know who are doing these things that St. Paul says, particularly keep watch over yourself. If you can't keep watch over yourself, there is no reason whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the scriptures militate against the fact that a man can do anything in the church of God if he can't run his own life. This is a marching order of one of the elders over the church. He says that he gives them charge to guard and serve the flock. Two things, guard and serve. I think you can talk a good show about service because that's sort of an ambiguous term, to serve. I don't think there's a bishop on the face of this planet, name your poison, that would say, well, I'm serving the flock of God. Serving them subjectively, maybe. Serving them how? You think you're serving them while you're... Again, that's sort of a subjective thing. The first thing that he tells them to do is to guard it, to guard the flock. We're falling way, way short of that. Like I said, the whole service thing, what are you going to do with that? The guarding part, we can see objectively whether or not that's happening, and it's not in most places. And I'm not just talking about guarding the flock from horrendous sinners. I preached a homily. This was several years ago now, and I didn't think it was any big deal when I preached it. It was sort of common stuff around here, but we had some visitors. And I still to this day, when I'm introduced to some of our seminarians last, I was introduced to some of our seminarians, and you're the one who preached the homily and said, all are not welcome. I was like, yeah, that was me. It's a fact. That's guarding the flock. If you're a shepherd, are you guarding if all are welcome in the fold? Like lions and wolves and bears. It's just not being a shepherd. People getting a chuckle out of that, you know, to this day. And it's just a no-brainer. If you're guarding the flock, you don't let predators in. Okay, that's all there is to it. Hey, your house, you guard it by what? Locking the doors, hide your stuff, having safes. That's guarding your stuff. Who in here got a sign in front of their house? All are welcome. That's ridiculous. If you care about your stuff, St. Paul is saying that the elders have to care for the church. This is their job. They are to guard it. They are to keep it free from predators. They are to keep it free from things and people that would endanger the flock. This is Paul's direction toward the elders. And like I said, that's objective, and we see it not happening. What's really sick about it is they're not guarding from the outside. They're not even guarding from the inside. When you have significant portions of the church saying, we don't care what you say, Pope. We're going to do what we want. And really, everybody's all bent out of shape about it now. That's it's nothing new under the sun. It's been going on for about 60 years now. The first day, and I mean this literally, the first day of the Second Vatican Council, they had marching orders. This is what we're going to talk about. A French cardinal got up and said, no, I want to talk about something else. The president of the council, you need to sit down, sir. They finally wanted to shut him down. He would not sit down. It was rebellion from that point on. Rebellion. The church is supposed to guard against things like that. It's supposed to guard against, not acquiesce. This is why you have communion in the hand now. Communion in the hand. Pope, no, stop it. No. I'm going to ask all the bishops. What do the bishops say? No, stop it. No. Okay, you can do it. I'll give you permission. Did you give permission? Did you give permission, or did you just let rebellion go unaddressed? That's why you have communion in the hand now. It wasn't supposed to be. The Holy Spirit, nothing. Rebellion. Rebellion started it, and we're living it. I don't think it's going to stop. I don't think it's going to stop. It's just going to keep on going, and we're just going to have to deal with it. But the church will deal with it. And when I say the church, I mean the church. There are elements, as I said, these are elements, significant elements within the church who are rebellious against the traditions of our faith, the deposit of the faith. But that's not the church. The church will prevail against all that. But the scriptures don't say how big she's going to be. Just make sure you're in that. No matter how much it may shrink, just make sure you're there. Guard the flock. Serve the flock. How? By telling the flock what's good for them and what's bad for them. I pointed out something the other day. Hey, I heard that this bishop is, he's trying to convince his people to do this. You're a shepherd, sir. Excellency. You're a shepherd. They're your sheep. You direct them to what they need to do. Use your crook. Nudge them along or bash them upside the head, but don't let them do things that are dangerous for them. This is the reality. This is guarding. This is serving. This is what St. Paul does. What he did, what he directed them to do. Hey, guard the flock for another couple thousand years, but then we're going to let things kind of loosen up a little bit. No. No, it's as continuous. I alluded earlier. A lot of this stuff goes out. Why? To acquiesce to people. To, what is it? Appeal to their felt needs. Back when I was a pagan, I used to feel like I needed a whole lot of different things. But guess what? It was all bad for me. It would have sent me to hell if the Holy Spirit hadn't opened my eyes to the fact. This is the reality. A felt need is ridiculous. There are objective needs for us as people of faith. Those objective needs are spoken of in the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of in the gospel, the truth of his word. The truth of our Lord Jesus Christ's commands and precepts, those are the truths that we need. Paul was completely disinterested in things, the way people thought about him, or even things of this world. I do get a kick out of when I'm reading this, and there's a couple of the verses where St. Paul says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. My, how times change. I'm always making sort of poking fun a little bit at bishops' appeals. We need money for this. We need money for that. St. Paul's completely disinterested. He actually said, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't ask you for one thing. As a matter of fact, I worked for everything I needed. Now, I'm not saying that the church isn't like it, because St. Paul did not have to keep the lights on in cathedrals and he didn't have to pay staff and all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that, it's a sinful thing for bishops. I'm not saying that at all. They're necessary. They really are. But I'm saying we got a little bit of a problem with emphasis anymore. We need to emphasize it. I love it. I name names occasionally. I won't name a name, just regions. Germany, the synodal process, the German bishops, basically, anything goes. Yeah, we're good. We're a big, happy family. Give the Eucharist to everybody. We'll do this to everybody. These people are sinners. You need to excommunicate. No, we don't excommunicate anybody. Except a few years ago in Germany, they have a church tax. They have a church tax. If you live in Germany, you pay a church tax. And you either pay Protestant church tax or Catholic church tax. Well, you can sign a legal document that says, I don't go to church. And guess what? You don't have to pay church tax. The German bishops got wind that Catholics were signing that paper just so they didn't have to pay the tax. Excommunicate them. Wow. Excellencies, that's different. Excommunicate them for not paying their church tax, but they can do all kind of decadent evil things. They don't have to worry about anything. But God forbid you don't pay the church tax. That's why the churches in Germany are some of the richest in the world and some of the fewest populated on any given Sunday. They don't have to worry about people showing up. They pay taxes for it. This is a state of affairs in which we live. Kind of different from when Paul said, I don't covet anybody's silver or gold. This is a reality of things. Faithful bishops, and there are many out there. Faithful bishops do exactly what St. Paul said. Our bishop is one. It sounds self-serving, but it's true. He does these things. He guards, he serves, he does what he's supposed to do. The three bishops that we honor today in the memorial, that very patrimonial thing, they're all English bishops. St. Dunstan, an English bishop, this guy, you talk about St. Paul working with his hands. St. Dunstan, he was the Bishop of Canterbury, which is the highest office you could have in England. But when he retired, he went about it. Tell me, this guy is not a jack of all trades. He wrote books. And back in those days, in the 10th century, when you write books, you write books. He wrote books and he made bells and organs. I'm like, what? He made bells and organs. Okay. Like I said, this guy's a jack of all trades. You got to appreciate people like that. You know, he didn't retire on the church's pension, although he was a Bishop of Canterbury. He devoted his life after he was Bishop of Canterbury, when he retired, to staying mostly in his cell, praying, making bells and organs, you know, doing things like that. He didn't stop. Retirement for him wasn't my nice beach house that the diocese provided. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. Anecdote for St. Dunstan. See horseshoes in houses? You hang a horseshoe at your door, it brings good luck, right? Where did that come from? Why a horseshoe? How is that lucky? St. Dunstan. This is a traditional thing, which means it's mythological, but it's cute. St. Dunstan, this is where this allegedly came from, is Satan appeared because he knew St. Dunstan was a craftsman like that. Satan appeared to him and he had broken one of his cloven hooves and he wanted St. Dunstan to fix it, basically tempted him. You can't possibly fix this. And say, St. Dunstan, oh yes, I can. So the devil thinks he's being self-serving. Well, St. Dunstan goes to work on his cloven hoof with a horseshoe, and the devil's in excruciating pain. And he's begging St. Dunstan, please, please, he goes, I'll take it off if you promise that any house that has a horseshoe, you won't go near. That's where that comes from. St. Dunstan, like I said, little footnote there, but that's where we get stuff like that. But it does come from St. Dunstan being very ingenuitive and being a craftsman. The men of God that serve the flock, they're supposed to be ingenuitive. They're supposed to be strong. They're supposed to be firm. They're supposed to be direct. This is guarding and serving the flock. This is the reality of service to God's church. This is what St. Paul demands. This man knows that he's never going to see these men again that he has put over the churches, and he gives them these marching orders. We've got to do something with that. You know, like that we, us, that wear collars. But you have to expect that. And when you don't see it, you need to say something about it. Do it with all tact. Do it with all reverence that is due. But you need to address it. It needs to be addressed rightly. He doesn't read the letters. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Squeaky wheels get the grease. And at the end of the day, the whole nickels and noses thing, if you got to move, go on, move about your business. You learn things from this. You should learn what you need to expect, but that's not sitting back with like a little bird with your mouth open waiting for something to get dropped in. You need to use these kind of things to address things when they're not what they should be. And if you have to address them by voting with your feet, so be it. And you go somewhere where the shepherds are doing what St. Paul directs in Father and Son and Holy Ghost.